Yo, man, give me that microphone and sit down, because a brother like me is known to get down. So get up from the rhyme and you'll find it's designed to give sight to the blind and enlighten the mind. And the lines are arranged in a strange and orthodox style that's knocked you out of the box. So block the competition on a mission. Believe it or not, that was actually better than when I rehearsed it.
That's quite something, that was.
Yo,
that
man,
was quite something.
Yo, man, give me that microphone.
Please stop saying yo, man, on the podcast.
Okay.
Sorry. Hello and welcome to another episode of This Our Johnny Domino. My name is Steve
And my name is Giles. Hello. We are back.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of our podcast, where myself and my brother sit and we talk about songs that we have recorded back in the day when we was young.
But we don't just talk about songs that we recorded. We talk about all kinds of things.
Yes.
So you don't need to be, you know, you don't even need to like our music, really, to like the podcast.
So few people do.
To be honest.
Yeah.
You know, let's be fair. You can really hate our music and still get something from this, I think.
Yes. However, if you do like our music, you may be excited to know that the first volume of This Our Johnny Domino, as in songs that we have chosen through the course of our previous episodes, is going to be released digitally on Friday, the 22nd of March. That is the day after this podcast comes out.
Oh, my word. That is exciting.
It's going to be all the places that are digital. It's going to be on Apple and Spotify and Bandcamp and YouTube.
Yay.
And wherever you want to.
Yeah, and you're going to be able to put the songs onto like your playlists and stuff.
And you can use it in your TikToks.
Oh, yeah. Great. There's plenty of candidates there for TikTok songs, kids.
That'd be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah, let's do it.
Hey, let's kids that are listening to this podcast.
All you kids out there.
Not so many of the kids.
But, you know, when I get on TikTok, though, Steve, there's going to be hundreds of them. Literally hundreds.
Yes.
Because there are hundreds of kids that are on TikTok, aren't they? Hundreds of them.
If you need a reminder about what all this nonsense is about, over 30 years, probably getting on for 40 years, we have played in bands and we've recorded songs with our mates and we are listening to them again with fresh ears, not really evaluating them, but we're kind of using them as a springboard to memories and whiffle and waffle and chaff.
And my ears are feeling particularly fresh today. Should we get into the first song?
Let's go into the first song.
That was a very podcast thing to say.
And, well, you need to talk about this first one because it's another candidate.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Yes, it is. Okay. So the first song we're going to listen to today is not by the Johnny Domino Band or any other band that we've been in. This is a candidate for the Eternal Halls of the Four God.
That was something else. Now, on previous episodes, we've talked about various people that we've played with, and two of those people that we did a lot of recording with were our mates John and Albert. And John sent me a song that him and Albert had recorded. So I'm just going to read you a little bit from his message.
Go for it.
This track I always quite liked that Albert and I record when we called ourselves Skinny White Boys, brackets, a name that Albert never liked. The song is called Una, the Happy Cavewoman, and the lyrics are taken from a short story of the same name written by Patricia Highsmith. Albert is playing guitar and harmonica. I'm playing the rest, drums, bass, and banjo, plus some speaking. It was recorded in my bedroom using your first four-track, which we borrowed for much of the summer of 1994. Now, that was the four-track that was given to me by my old piano teacher. It was a Texon 4x4. And it seems like people that weren't us were able to use that four track quite successfully. It used to not re-record over tracks properly. Sometimes we didn't even have four tracks to record on, but Albert and John did quite well with it on this.
It was a rickety old tape machine.
It really was. I mean, it didn't even have a cover, you know, on the tape deck of it where you put the tape in. It's probably got a technical name where you insert the tape, and then the lid goes down. The lid, I guess, is what it's called. Yeah. Didn't even have one of those. I think it was actually gaffer taped on.
Probably. Bit of jeopardy here, though, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, we've got to decide, well, actually, it's usually me,
yeah,
whether this is going to be entered, admitted into the halls, right? Now, I don't really know what criteria we use in here for this, but we're going to listen to it very, very carefully.
Yes.
And decide whether it's got that certain quality.
Yes. I think this has got a touch of the early recordings of Arab Strap about it.
Yeah, very rumbly
very
bass.
Very rumbly, really good bass. So that's John playing the bass. But John, he bought the banjo.
It's hard to play the banjo.
It's really difficult. It's got to be really difficult.
No diss, John. This is just a bed for a story.
Yes. Here it comes.
She was a bit hairy, one front tooth missing, but her sex appeal was apparent at a distance of 200 yards or more, like an odour, which perhaps it was. She was round, round-bellied, round-shouldered, round-hipped, and all smiling, always jolly. And that was why men liked her. She had always something cooking in the pot on the fire. She was simple-minded and never lost her temper. She'd be clubbed over the head so many times her brain was addled.
Thank you. I've got memories of other things that they recorded as Skinny White Boys, and it was really quite varied. They did a bit of New Kingdom / Beck-like hip-hop, and I wish I'd got more of it. And that's the only one that John sent me. I mean, you can tell that they are very much of the bitch magnet slint, spoken vocals, really, really, really low in the mix. But you found the story, haven't you?
Yeah, I kind of wish the vocals were a bit louder on that. Mm. But I did enjoy it. The story that is being read and the title's from, it's a short story by the American novelist Patricia Highsmith, who's better known for writing psychological thrillers like the Ripley series, which I've not actually read any of. Have you?
No, I've not read her stuff. I've heard things on the radio and I've obviously seen a few of the films.
Mm, yeah, yeah.
Carol was the one recently.
Yeah, and this is from a collection of short stories called Little Tales of Misogyny. And the story is called Una the Jolly Cave Woman. And the collection of stories is apparently very downbeat and satirical stories, basically. But this one, I needed to read it so that I could understand what they were going on about on this track. Mm. And basically, it's about a cave woman who's described as having some sex appeal to her peers. And a caveman called Vippo falls in love with her and makes her an ornament. And then Vippo's jealous wife kills Una, the cave woman. And then Vippo then kills his wife. And then he makes a statue out of wood and stone of Una. And this statue has become very popular with the other men. And then Vippo is eventually slain by a jealous woman whose husband was obsessed with the statue of Una. So, yeah, it's kind of like that. So it's a bit like it's like the birth of art or pornography or something. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
So it's kind of an interesting story. It's got a lot in it. So I can understand why they picked it. And it's, you know, they were like way more literary than I was at this point in history.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the thing I mentioned something I was going to talk about, which is not controversial, I don't think. And I chatted about this with John. Been thinking about the artwork to the podcast and the tagline, how not to succeed at music.
Oh, yeah.
And the more I think about it, we totally did succeed at it. Mm. In the fact that, you know, we were all obsessed with creativity and we're lucky that we all found each other. You know, I met John, and through John, I knew Albert and we knew Jim. And then through having Jock in the band, we met Dick and Chris and all those people. And we just happened to be the same age, living in the same sort of area. And we're all just obsessed with music. And, you know, even.
It depends. Are you saying it depends how you define success, aren't you, Steve?
I mean, clearly, I am not sitting by a pool in Monte Carlo or the south of France or somewhere where you would want to live if you had loads of money.
No.
But we made some stuff that didn't exist. You know what I mean? Yeah. You know, if you think about like the Jeff Tweedy book, How to Write One Song, we created things.
Yeah,
it's really cool. It's really cool. Yeah. You know, on a Friday night, we could have gone to the pub and stood around and tried to talk to girls, or more likely would have just looked at them and then left the pub.
We did that as well.
Yeah, and we did do that as well. But sometimes we would just go, let's write a song as this band, or write a song as a band that sounds like this. And we just do it.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Well, that's good. Well, that's kind of who we are, though. And there's lots of people like that. And I think it's good. You know, we're by the very essence of making this podcast, we're encouraging people. We're saying, come on, we made some shit. You do some shit.
Show us yours.
That's the whole point of it, really. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like creativity breeds creativity.
Yeah.
And you know, it's, oh my God, right? Okay.
All right.
So Una, the jolly cave woman.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the birth of creativity. A guy is like, makes a statue, right? He just, you know, he had the time to just carve something out of wood. And that was like, that was a thing.
And it got him killed.
And it got him killed. But it was successful in making the statue.
Yes.
There you go. And he probably pissed a few people off by making the statue.
Yeah.
You know that song, though?
Yes, yes.
I think it's, you know, thinking about whether it's going to be entered into the Eternal Halls, mm-hmm. I think there can be no doubt, really, because it is the very essence of four-track fucking about, yeah. basically, you know.
Yeah, there's weird bits where the music drops out and you're just left with the bass and then it all comes back in and then there's a weird bit of fast-forwarding tape. In fact,
exactly.
I think I heard that in the background as well. I was listening to it then and I could hear like a high bit during earlier sections of the song and it was almost like they were trying to do a cut price version of Tomorrow Never Knows by the Beatles, you know, that like high-speed tape. And I don't know if that was harmonica, but in my head it was like a tape loop, like spinning at high speed.
Whatever, they were working within the limitations.
Exactly. That's my point, yes.
And that's what's good, right?
Yes.
So, yeah, that one is definitely going into the Eternal Halls of the four-track God.
Congratulations, God, John. God, and Albert.
T-shirts are on the way.
Beautiful.
There you go.
Next, it's another band that isn't Johnny Domino. We're going back to prehistory. We're going back to our band that...
We were already in prehistory, Steve.
Yes.
We were talking about Cableman. Like slightly less prehistory.
Slightly less prehistory. We formed a band. I mean, it's got a terrible name. Let's just get the name out of the way. The band was called Space Rat. Space Rat. But it's like Mouse Rat from Parks and Recreation. But yes.
It looked really good on the posters.
Hey, they really did look good on the posters, yes. But Space Rat... And that was a band that started out as a three-piece with me on keyboard bass, because you love that keyboard bass, and the drum machine, you were on guitar, and our mate Andy was on vocals. And then we moved on from being a drum machine-led trio, and we met Jock. But that was through a mate of yours at college, wasn't it?
It was. Yeah. And it was very fortuitous.
Oh, yeah.
Because Jock... was a very good drummer.
Hell yeah.
And he still is, obviously. Yeah. So he joined us and we became a much more exciting live proposition, shall we say.
Oh, yeah. Right?
So we did some cracking gigs as Space Rat and set the streets of San Diego and Nottingham on fire.
We did.
With our own brand of loud, punky indie rock. Shall we call it?
I found a series of posters at the weekend, didn't I? And one of them said, hardcore with flowers.
Yeah. Well,
that's a terrible description.
There you go. No, I think it was very good. Okay. That's what we were going for.
Okay, all right.
So this is a song by Space Rat called Inside. just let me give you the picture to go with that song. Let me give you the visuals, right? Yeah. Basically, you got a young, skinnier version of me in a Dinosaur Junior t-shirt that has been worn so much it can probably walk itself.
Yes.
Somebody who can, I've got about three chords and I can just about play bar chords.
Yep.
And I've just bought a wah-wah pedal.
I think you borrowed it off Russ, actually.
But I did buy one eventually. And there's my younger brother, little curly-haired little fella.
Hi there.
Probably in a De La Soul t-shirt.
Hello.
Or a Watchman t-shirt. My Watchman
behind
t-shirt.
Behind his keyboard, gamely plugging away, playing that bass.
That keyboard bass.
There he is, little fella. Then there's a lad with a strange haircut, very skinny fella in a homemade Cud t-shirt, drumming away. Very good drummer, drumming like only a 16-year-old can drum.
Moving his arms up and down with great speed, like
very,
a 16-year-old.
He can move that wrist up and down really fast, right? And then there's another lad singing who's, I think he's trying to model himself on Jim Kerr or maybe the singer from The Alarm. So he's got a very different reference point to the rest of the band. And we're playing in a back room of a pub in a small town next to the canal in Sandy Acre.
Yes.
In a back room of this, it's not a pub, it was a working man's club. The Alec Club.
Don't go looking for it, it's not there.
No, and there was lots and lots of kind of 16, 17-year-olds jumping around, chucking furniture around, as I remember it, and Andy stops them doing that at some point and says, dance is one thing, but breaking tables is another.
Rock and roll.
So he does try and calm them down.
Yeah, rock and roll.
But it was a jolly good time, wasn't it, Steve?
Yeah, I mean, you say 16, 17. It was 15 to 17. Yeah,
maybe.
You know, I mean, a couple of my mates from school skateboarded over to Sears.
It was good fun.
It was all good fun, and it was basically, it was an excuse for our school friends and college friends to go and get drunk in a working men's club and cop off with each other. And we just made some noise. And, you know, I've got a live recording of them, of that young band, and there's people there and they're into it.
Space Rat.
Space Rat.
Yeah. And like, kind of like echoing what you said earlier in the podcast, I suppose, you know, we're not saying that we're the only people who ever did this. There's hundreds of bands like Space Rat.
Yeah.
Always happening all over the place, right? And young people having a great time jumping up and down, listening to their mates playing the guitar. This was just our version of it, really.
Yeah.
Good memories. And I'd encourage anybody to do it as you know, as part of your life, you know, do it. Now, sadly, Space Rat did reach a fairly rapid demise before we managed to break into the indie scene, the East Midlands indie scene. Mainly because of artistic differences. I think it was Jock who left first because I think he was getting annoyed with the whole thing. But it all kind of fell to bits.
Yeah.
Now, as part of the podcast, I wanted to sort of tell a bit of a story of Space Rat, but I'm not really a great writer. So I got an AI to generate a script about a very memorable episode that happened at a Space Rat rehearsal. Now, I can't completely vouch for the verite of this particular account.
Yeah.
However, it does get across a certain sense of things that happen. So I got the AI to write a script. It's a play. So this is new for the podcast, isn't it, Steve?
It's a little play.
We're going to do a play.
Yes. Now, can I just before we start? I mean, the interesting thing about the AI, we've got a narrator, we've got a character called Jock, we've got a character called Andy, and then you have the guitarist and the bassist.
Yes, because I didn't bother inputting our names, Steve.
Okay. I didn't know if the AI had just said those two aren't important.
No, that's not in the parameters names. That I gave the AI.
Okay, cool. So yes, I am doing the voice of bassist.
Okay.
But I'm also doing the voice of Jock.
Okay, so enjoy that.
So I apologise profusely to our Scottish listeners.
Okay, here we go. Opening shot of a typical suburban house in San Diego. The neighborhood is quiet and peaceful, and the sun sets in the background. In the seemingly peaceful town of San Diego, something explosive and unexpected is about to happen. We join the Space Rat Band as they gather at Jock the Drummer's house for their regular practice session. The camera follows the band members, Andy the singer, Jock the drummer, and their guitarist and bassist.
Whoever they are.
As they enter the house, carrying their instruments and equipment. The band, known for their unique blend of rock and punk music, have been making waves at the local music scene. But today, something is not quite right. As they set up their instruments, Andy, the lead singer, seems unusually agitated.
Hey man, what's going on? You seem a bit off today.
Andy, I just can't get these lyrics right. They're just not coming to me. The guitarist and bassist stop tuning their instruments and look at Andy, sensing the tension.
Maybe take a break and come back to it later.
Andy shakes his head. No, I need to get this done today. We have a gig coming up and I can't go on stage not knowing my own lyrics. The pressure is getting to Andy, and he desperately tries to make sense of his jumbled thoughts. Jock tries to calm him down, but to no avail.
Come on, man. You're a great songwriter. You'll figure it out.
Andy stands up angrily and slams his fist on the table. No, I won't. This is all garbage. Without another word, Andy grabs his notebook and lyrics and furiously starts ripping out the pages, crumpling them and throwing them to the ground.
Andy, what are you doing?
Andy doesn't respond. He just continues to tear up his lyrics and stuffs them into his pants. The rest of the band look on in confusion. It becomes quite clear that Andy's frustration has reached a breaking point.
Hey guys, let's give Andy some space. Maybe we should call it a night.
The band reluctantly agrees and they all leave, leaving Andy alone in the room. As he takes a few deep breaths, he finally calms down and realizes the gravity of his actions. Oh no, what have I done? As he looks at the torn and crumpled lyrics, he knows he's hit rock bottom. But in that moment, something shifts inside him and he decides to turn things around. Cut to the next day. The band are back at Jock's house and Andy is nowhere to be seen. Jock and the rest of the band are setting up their instruments, wondering where Andy is.
I hope he's all right.
The guitarist spots Andy walking towards them with a determined look on his face. Come on, remember the voice.
You're the guitarist.
No, you're the guitarist.
I was the bassist.
Oh, Jesus. Oh. Look, guys, here he comes.
What was that? What is that voice meant to be?
I don't know. Look, there you go. Look, guys, here he comes.
You're doing me, aren't you? You're doing prepubescent me. All right.
The band turns to see Andy walking towards them with a new notebook in his hands. Andy, smiling. Sorry for the meltdown last night. I've been working on some new lyrics and I think it's some of the best work yet. Turns out the destruction of his old lyrics was just what Andy needed to break free from his creative block. And with the support of his bandmates, he was able to turn his frustration into something beautiful. Cut to the band performing on stage, with Andy confidently belting out his new lyrics. The crowd cheer and the band beams with pride. Who knew that a little drama in the suburbs of San Diego would lead to such an inspiring comeback? The Space Rat Band proving that even the most chaotic moments can ultimately lead to something great. There's a closing shot of the band in their element, rocking out on stage as the sun sets in the background.
Hey, yay!
I'm clapping myself.
Yes, well, don't.
That really was something, wasn't it?
I think we may have some more dramatisations of key moments from the history of Johnny Domino coming up.
I think you may have set the bar particularly high with that one.
There's more.
If I can just take another moment just to apologise to Jock and anyone else from Scotland who heard that, I apologise profusely.
I think you did very well.
It was a bit of Mrs. Doubtfire, a bit Kelly MacDonald. Shall we go to the final song from our selection?
Let's.
Okay, now this is a song by Johnny Domino. This are Johnny Domino. And it is a song from Johnny Domino's last album.
It's the last one we recorded.
And that is...
most recent album.
Well, yeah, we're talking... how many years? God, 20 years ago.
When did we record this?
Well, it came out in 2004. So, yeah, it's 20 years old.
Okay, so it's the most recent album.
Okay, and this is a song called Breathe It Out. Now, we went through a period of just having jams where we would just plug all of our equipment into the 8-track, everything, like every instrument, every keyboard, the drum machine, sampler, effects unit, and we'd just record stuff as it just came out of us.
Yeah, we're just like making stuff up.
Just making stuff up. I mean, I'm not claiming that we're jazz, but we were just making a bit of a racket.
And a load of it was shite, really.
Well, a lot of it was a bit crap. And because on the first occasion that we tried this, I was waiting for the delivery of a degausser or a demagnetizer.
What is a degausser?
It's basically, it's a demagnetizing rod, and you can remove magnetic fields from your cassette player.
Yeah, yeah.
And I needed one for the 8-track. So I was waiting for a delivery of one. So we called it a degausser session. And we used that technique on basically the last two albums that we did.
Mm, that's a great metaphor, isn't it? Because it was a cleaner. It cleaned your tapes, right? And yeah. Also the degausser sessions. It was like a way of kind of expelling all of our creativity. Yeah.
So the music on Breathe It Out is an unedited degausser recording. On this particular occasion, it was just me, you and Mark going straight into the 8-track. So I'm playing guitar, you're playing bass, Mark's playing his keyboards, and the drums.
Who's playing those funky drums?
Those funky drums are by legendary jazz drummer Billy Martin, who is the drummer in a jazz fusion band called Medeski, Martin and Wood. They consist of John Medeski on keyboards, Billy Martin on drums, and Chris Wood on bass. Now, when I worked in Virgin Megastore in the jazz department, their album Shack Man came out in like 1996, and that was a bit of a hit with myself and Mark. Hi there, Mark. Not Mark from Johnny Domino, Mark from Virgin Megastore. We used to listen to that quite a bit. Billy Martin released a record called Illy B Eats Volume 1, Groove, Bang and Jive Around. It's a breakbeat album. And I think it might have been one of the first things I bought off the internet.
Okay.
Because they were just selling it through their website. So I've still got it. It's a vinyl record and it's an album of drum beats. And it's a really good listen to say it's just a drummer. There aren't that many drummers you could listen to an whole album of. Billy Martin's one of them. And for Breathe It Out, we took the drums from the track Brazilian Cowboy.
Okay. Yeah. And then we wrote a song. And it's a bit, a little bit, I think there's a little bit of Can in there, definitely.
There's a bit of the Fall in it. And I think
the song is about kind of, it's a bit like therapy, isn't it? It's like, you know, this is how to make yourself feel better.
Okay.
got yourself into. I am here to let you know that I have been there many times. All you can do is drag it up and breathe it out. Now start again and
did say before we started listening to that it was an unedited Dick Houser recording. Obviously, I faded some stuff out at the end. I don't know how much longer we went on that riff. And you mentioned it's got a little bit of the Fall in it. That bit of the Fall is Athlete Cured.
Oh, yeah.
Which is obviously a bit Tonight We're Going to Rock You by Spinal Tap.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, it's a bit of that, definitely. Yeah, I really liked it. And I chose that to be in this episode because I wanted it to be a shoe-in for the next volume of the best of Johnny Domino, because I don't think there's anything else in this episode that would probably be admitted. Do you think that was a bit sneaky of me?
So you're trying to game the system, aren't you?
I am trying to game the system. Because, you know, the only other candidate really from this episode would be Inside by the band Space Rat. And that is quite a nice recording, which has been done on a tape deck.
Yeah. But
like you say, it's from prehistory a little bit. It's a bit primitive. And I think Breathe It Out is a pretty good representation of Johnny Domino at a particular point. And I like Jim singing on it.
But he's not on it much.
He does. I like what he does on it, though. I like what he does on it.
The really high bit.
Yeah, I love that. In fact, I love what everyone does on it. I like Mark's squiggly wiggly bits on the keyboards. And I like your guitar playing and the overloading and stuff. I think it's cool. And I like the drummer. And my bass playing's all right as well.
Yeah. I think it's pretty good.
Yeah. So what'd you say? Are you just going to make me hang on tenterhooks for a while?
No, well, look, I think both the Space Rat song and that Johnny Domino song are pretty good.
Mm.
That's it. If you can have the casting vote. I'm not, you know, I enjoyed the Space Rat one. I enjoyed listening to it and I enjoyed our little play.
But would you include, which one would you include on the compilation tape? You know, if you were going to make a compilation tape, which is going to represent us,
if it's
this or Johnny Domino, which one would you pick?
It's probably going to be Breathe It Out, but I'll think very carefully about where it's going to be placed because I think it's okay.
Okay. Okay. God. That's rather,
you know,
I can sense by the tone of your voice that you don't love it.
I enjoyed listening to Space Rat and enjoyed listening to Breathe It Out. And I haven't got any strong feelings either way about either of them. So if you want Breathe It Out to be on, you can have Breathe It Out.
Okay, we'll do that then.
Thank you very much for joining us.
Hold on there a minute, Steve. Thank you. Just wait a sec. Okay. Just wait a sec.
Oh, what is this? Yeah. This has never happened
before. End section.
Wow.
Right, here's a question for you, right?
All good.
I've been thinking about songs that have really happy music or relatively happy music and really tragic lyrics. And the best example I've found is a song called Dragging the River, and it's by a country artist called Ferlin Husky.
Oh, God almighty.
Ferlin Husky, and from 1959, right?
Okay.
Got to number 11 in the US country charts. And Ferlin Husky gives us a beautiful song that I'd like to go away to listen to. It's not very long. Happy little tune, right? But it talks about the fact that the narrator of the song is having such a bad time in his relationship that the next thing that's going to happen is that they're going to be dragging the river for him.
How lovely.
Yeah. Which I think is about as contrasty as you can get.
Mm.
Right. So get into that. Ferlin Husky. I'm loving the contrast between the happy song and the very, very, very sad lyrics.
Excellent.
Things get worse. I can't shake this curse. They'll start dragging the river for me.
Thank you very much for listening to the podcast. If you are enjoying the podcast, please follow us on social media, either on Instagram or at our Facebook page. Links will be in the show notes. Links will be in the show notes, and we'll be back in another couple of weeks. If you listen to the previous recording, then you will have heard our challenge to you, which is to write a tune to go with the lyrics.
Hold on there. Hold on.
To lunch.
Hold on there. Hold on there. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Okay. We need to do a bit more upbeat here. Come on. Here we go. Right. Hey. In the last episode, we set you a challenge. And the challenge was to write some music to go with some very, well, should we say they're amazing?
Let's say they're amazing lyrics. Amazing. They've given us a great deal of happiness over the years. They really have.
Some amazing lyrics by the fictional band, as far as we know, called Out to Lunch. And these lyrics are now available on all of the different social medias that we are on, right? So you can find them, right? And I'll put them on the notes to this podcast. Anyway, please have a go. Join in. We want you to record your own version of this song in whatever genre, whatever style you like to record it in, right? And I think this is going to be quite good fun if people get involved. We're going to probably have a go at recording one.
Oh yeah,
yeah. We're gonna have a crack at it, aren't we? At least one. At least one. And you never know, right? We might actually, through the majesty of the internet, we may actually find the actual version of the song. We never know, right? So get involved with that. That's going to be something coming up in the near future. And we've got another episode coming up in a couple of weeks, which Steve's going to pull some bangers out of the bag, which he's gonna say something more than just it's fine about it, which is good, right? And there you go. So thank you for listening,
and please join us again next time. So was it my turn to be grumpy?